Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you're having a good evening tonight. It's my second show of the day. I did a show earlier this morning with Scott Kesterson. He's calling in from Afghanistan, and we're going to talk a little more about that today. It was a pretty incredible show, and it was really wonderful to speak to Scott. He's a great guy, and he's really doing some incredible things. But you have reached the Alan Levy Show, and you're listening to this live on blogtalkradio.com, and you can hear the archive of this show as well on blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy, or on our blog, or on our MySpace page. So welcome to my show tonight, and I'm very excited to have John Havens on the show tonight. John is the founder, owner of the podcast new media consultation production firm Podcast Vision and Voice, which you could find at www.pvandv.com. And he's organizer of PodCamp New York NYC, which is www.podcampnyc.org. And I will be a participant in PodCamp NYC, and John is with us today and one of the most noted podcasters, and very excited to have him. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on the show, Alan. I really appreciate it.
Sure. It's my pleasure. We met a while back, a couple of weeks ago. We had a cappuccino and a little breakfast by you, and it was a pleasure meeting you, and I really am excited to have you on and have my audience learn about what's, you know, how you got into podcasting and your background. And I neglected to say that you are a former actor and you've had roles on and off Broadway. And, you know, I'd love to hear a little more about that and how you got into podcasting.
Sure. Well, I with regards to acting, I moved to New York in 92 to pursue acting professionally and had a pretty good run of it. I did one Broadway show, a bunch of off-Broadway shows, a number of films and TV shows where I had principal roles, meaning speaking roles. So with regards to having a passion for being in front of people and creating content or, you know, collaborating with someone else who created content, that's always been a passion. And then with regards to podcasting, I was doing some marketing. I'm also a writer and was doing a consulting gig. And the people who I was working with said, hey, we have a project coming up. Can you, you know, potentially edit this audio? And I'd had some experience doing that. But they said, can you do this podcast thing? At the time, I had no idea what the word meant.
When was this?
This was not all that long ago. It was probably about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So the medium was still young, but it certainly wasn't brand new. So I edited the various pieces for that particular client and really fell in love with the craft of editing audio. And pretty soon after that decided, hey, this is a great way for me to mix my talents, my acting talents, so I can speak, you know, I can do the narration as it were. I can do the content creation, writing of scripts, et cetera. And so I started the firm Podcast Vision and Voice, which you mentioned, which was very kind. Thank you. And sent out a press release, just sort of a very casual one to my friends, one of whom worked at About.com. He was the dating guide. And if you don't know About.com, it's a site that features about 500 or 600 sort of sub-sites with people who are guides that are experts in their field who then basically are journalists about that subject. So he told me that About.com was looking for a podcasting guide. I applied. I got the job. And that's sort of the main two hats I wear are the About.com Guide to Podcasting, where I'm basically a journalist, and then as founder and principal for my firm, I create content for other companies, and consult about podcasting and new media, and then also actually create the media. And then folks on my team also can implement the back end of putting up a podcasting page or video. We do video as well. And then the third hat, which you mentioned, I am the lead organizer for PodCamp NYC. PodCamp, as you may or may not know, is a movement that started last summer in Boston and features an unconference philosophy, the main tenets of which mean this: that the conference is free. Anyone can come to it, and there's no charge. Secondly, there are no keynote speakers. People who want to speak like I've encouraged Alan to speak, and hopefully you will.
Yes, I will.
Oh, good. Well, you just sign up on our wiki, and a wiki is a page that simply means you go to the page and you can change it, you know, like you would sort of a Word document, that type of thing.
And where do people find that?
The present site, the new one, is up at podcampnyc.org. And I will double check. I'm online right now. I'll double check that it's up. And if not, you can also, the older site, you can Google the words Podcamp NYC. And nope, I'm sorry, it is working. Good. If you go
Perfect.
To podcampnyc.org and you click on the register button, it'll take you to a wiki page. And again, if you don't know what a wiki page means, at the very top of the page, I'm on it now, if you click edit page, and this may be a new experience for folks,
yes,
you'll see the code that, you know, you might use, like to code a page for a blog or for a website. All you have to do is just go to the very bottom, click on that edit page, scroll down to the very bottom, and simply you know, hover your cursor over the last person who signed up before you and copy it like you would copy something into Word doc, paste that in, and then simply put in your website URL or email address, and you can register that way. Or if that's too hard, you can just send me an email and I'll do it for you. Because
that's probably easier.
Yeah.
Now, on Blog Talk Radio, of course, this is live, and we are broadcasting live, and if you'd like to call in this evening, we'll be on with John, and the number is 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. And if you'd like to IM me and you prefer not to call, you can. I'm on Skype, and you could use my name is Blog Talk Radio, and we'd love to take any questions during this hour for John. So once again, thank you for joining us, and you know, I some of the people that would have been working with me said, you have to have John Havens on. You have to know John Havens. I said, John Havens? Who's John Havens? He said, well, he is. Are you the father of podcasting, or are you one of the top, at least on the East Coast, let's say, maybe Leo Laporte on the West?
Gosh. Well, I guess short answer would be...
The brother. Let's say brother. The big brother.
I would consider that a large honor, but no, I mean, if you wanted to give me a title, I hope it would be one of the premier podcast and new media consultants on the East Coast. In terms of the podcasters, meaning who have actually been doing shows for a couple or 3 years, I would be honored to be in the top 20 or 30 of those folks, but I would really credit, you know, them with the content creation. I have a show on about.com, and I'm on show about 24. It's a weekly show, so I've done 24 episodes. But, you know, a lot of podcasters have been doing it for a while, like a show, like your show, are well into the 200 or 300, you know, episodes weekly or what have you. So I would be thrilled to know that I was one of the early educators of podcasting on the about.com site, and also with the with my firm, it's encouraging to know that I'm one of the newer people around who will consult with businesses about how to use podcasts and new media effectively for their business.
Now, do you see a big in the whole industry, and as you're looking at podcasting as a tool, and of course, while this is a broadcast, we also podcast these shows, and we are podcasters to a certain extent that we archive and provide RSS feeds for all of the shows on Blog Talk Radio. But do you see a difference between where the industry is going on a commercial side versus a consumer side?
Yeah, I think this is the big year for everyone to figure out, both for podcasting and videocasting, how material is going to be monetized. Meaning most podcasters, meaning the content producers and the video casters, this year are really exploring, can I get a sponsor? And this is sort of the consumer side too, I guess, but can I get a sponsor for my show? Which means, say they're doing a show on, I don't know, tennis. Maybe they're a tennis aficionado and they talk about tennis. And that means, you know, they might get a sponsor. I forget, Wilson. No, does Wilson do tennis?
Yes.
Whatever. Okay, good. So the Wilson people might say, well, wow, obviously the people that listen to the tennis cast or whatever they call it, you know, To Love or Volley or something, would be a great audience for me to get an ad, as it were, in front of them with regards to Wilson. So they might contact the podcaster and say, would you be willing to read, you know, a spot for us, much like, you know, in sort of traditional terrestrial radio, some would say, you know, not Walter Cronkite, but in that type of voice, you know, this week's episode brought to you by Wilson.
Right.
And if they're smart, in my opinion, they would make it much more, not honest, but real, and ask the podcaster, you know, look, you're doing a show about tennis. If you think Wilson tennis balls are good, the best plug, as it were, would be for you to talk about them, you know. So then you might have a podcaster say, hey, you know, I was using Wilson tennis balls last week. They are excellent. And again, as long as you make it obvious that they're your sponsor, so it's not like you're trying to kind of cheesily slip by, you know, to your audience that you, oh, by the way, this is my sponsor. You know, you might start making some half-decent money in that regard. And this is really the year where especially the advertisers on that side are going to find out, well, if I do invest money, what's the return on investment? How can I figure out the metrics, how many people are downloading and listening? So I hope I got to some of your questions.
And how's that shaking out? Because, I mean, obviously that's an issue that we're dealing with too, right? We are having these types of conversations because we have, I don't know, we've broadcast more than 10,000 shows now on Blog Talk Radio in 4 months. The numbers are really startling. We have more than 2,300 hosts. We have, you know, hundreds of hosts in politics, comedy, life, entertainment. And I believe that these are very targeted demographics, that the people that are listening to the shows, much like what you're describing and with podcasts, are very targeted demographics, and therefore you should, and very captive, and you should be getting a higher rate. And, you know, and I haven't had enough in dialogue, and yes, it is January, and this will be the year for that, but I think that the advertising community is bundling, it's my sense that they're bundling these types of these audience sizes and the medium with, you know, your old CPM model, which is people sitting on websites for 15 seconds at a time, you know, and that's a that's definitely a challenge for the industry. As you probably recognize.
Oh, it's a huge challenge, and I'll give you a couple places that your listeners and you should check out.
Okay.
And I may have mentioned this when we had breakfast. If I didn't, I will say it now.
Well, please mention it again because I'm writing it down for the second time then.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, there's a great movement afoot called the Open Metrics Initiative. And if you go to openmetrics.org, and I'll double-check that while we're talking.
Right. That was one with the Podango folks.
Yeah, but you know what? I actually got that incorrect. It turns out there's a guy named Chris at Libsyn. And I'm assuming, you know.
Oh, yeah, Ron Libsyn, R.L.
Libsyn, R.L.
It's R.L., Ronnie Libsyn. Ron, is that the company, R.L. Associates? Because Chris Libsyn may be the L of the Chris Libsyn may be the Libsyn of the Ron Libsyn. But anyway, that's fine. Chris Libsyn, yes.
Okay. No, not Chris Libsyn, just Libsyn is a well-known, it's one of the better-known podcasting websites,
yes,
in terms of the companies that provide hosting.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was clicking through to check a URL and got spammed.
Okay. Anyway, that's fine.
Anyway, Open Metrics, so I don't forget, openmetrics.org. And it's a guy named Chris from Libsyn.
Okay.
Libsyn is one of the bigger, I think they were just bought by Yahoo, one of the biggest online hosting sites where you can, if you're a newer podcaster, or not just newer, any podcaster, you can go and get hosting for your podcast and upload directly to the site. It makes, especially when you're new to podcasting, it's a really good company to get involved with. It's very easy to create through them. But anyway, this guy, Chris, is one of the – I think it was his idea to do this initiative at openmetrics.org where to get both advertisers and content creators, podcasters specifically, to really work on the metrics side of podcasting so that there can be a uniform standard to best understand how podcasters should get paid and how much advertisers should pay. And the reason I keep I've written about this a lot this year on about.com and stuff is I think this is the smartest organization I've seen that's, okay. that's putting these metrics together.
And how they doing with it? Amy Domestico just IM me, and I'm looking at it now. And she Skyped me with it. So have they been making lots of progress? Is there anything that you could share with our audience?
I think so. I mean, for one thing, they just as far as I know, they've gotten a lot of good attention. There's a friend of mine named David Kowalik, who's a very smart guy. He and his partner, they have a podcast. His name is Matthew Snodgrass. It's the Dave and Matt Show. I met them at PodCamp Boston, and they did a great talk called The Real Sense of Podcasting, C-E-N-T-S. And this was back, you know, last summer when everyone has always been wondering how can I make money, but these guys work with a great agency in New York called the Porter Novelli Agency, which is a very well-respected, just big, you know, sort of branding and you know, sort of general ad agency.
Okay.
And so now they're involved, and what that means is they've got the agency perspective from the inside out. So
right.
What's effective about that is if a big New York agency has two of their smartest guys trying to figure out from their side how to make podcasting both viable and have real return on investment, that's great news for content producers.
And the firm is Porter Novelli Agency, if someone wanted to contact them, or David and David Kowalik is at Porter Novelli?
Yeah, Porter Novelli, I'll give you that URL. It's just Porter, like, you know, a guy carrying stuff.
Yeah.
Novelli, N-O-V-E-L-L-I.
Okay.
And let me see, probably the easiest way is to contact Dave through his show. Yeah, the Dave and Matt Show, if you go to daveandmattshow.com, and I'm seeing if they have contact information here.
Okay.
I don't see if they have contact. So, but
I got a notice now. We can check that out.
Okay.
And because, you know, we have so many hosts on Blog Talk Radio that are, you know, interested in monetizing their shows. And we're obviously interested in that as well. And that's one of the big initiatives that we're building for this year. You know, with the amount of content that we have here, we've got probably 500 active hosts and we have that are running shows. So there's quite a number going on, and it's obviously quite relevant for us. And so I appreciate this information, and so would my audience as well. So thank you for that.
Sure. And if my email address is my name, which is johnchavens at Yahoo. That's my personal email. I'm fine with people, you know, emailing me, and certainly just CCU and all that. But anything, you know, or you can email me after the show. Happy to, if I've, you know, forgotten the URL or whatever. But lest I forget, another great company to check out is a company called Radio Tail, R-A-D-I-O. T-A-I-L. I think he's the CEO. I know he's one of the founders, certainly. A guy named Gregory Gallant, G-A-L-L-A-N-T. And again, this is radiotail.com.
Okay.
He's been around for about at least a year or more, and they do what he calls podcast advertising. So if you go to his page, you'll see he's got three main links: media companies, independent podcasters, and advertisers.
Right.
And so what he does, and also I should say what Porter Novelli does, they do a lot of other things. Radio Tail is just podcast advertising. Porter Novelli does a lot of things. But what Dave and Matt at Porter Novelli have done is they help hook up podcasters with appropriate advertisers. So again, like I just gave the example of the tennis situation, that would probably be a good fit to have Wilson advertise on the tennis cast.
Right.
And Dave and Matt put together the deal. I'm pretty sure it was Dave and Matt. I know it was Porter Novelli, and I know Dave and Matt had a pretty intrinsic part in it. They hooked up the sponsors with the Mommy Cast, which, if you weren't familiar with, is a great show by two moms that became extremely popular. And what was interesting is when they got this, and I forget who first sponsored them. It was someone like a Johnson & Johnson. I'm sure I had this wrong, but something that was pretty appropriate for a sort of mom-type product. And the show already had a lot of listeners. It was 100 to 200,000 listeners or something. But what was interesting is this was the first time, I think, the first time that this big a sponsor had sponsored a podcast specifically. And the attention, the media attention that that move got, it was like USA Today.
Really?
Or like a lot of the business journals, they were saying, look, this company is sponsoring a podcast directly. So everyone was happy. The advertisers were thrilled with all the press. MommyCast, of course, was thrilled because they got that many more listeners. And so now it's becoming, you know, that was also kind of broke the mold, from my understanding through Dave and Matt, that now sponsors we're seeing, we're not exactly sure, you know, what the ROI is going to be, et cetera, but there's money here.
Now, how do you think that if someone, you know, builds up, you know, what would be your advice to get 10,000, you know, 100,000 downloads of a show is a very significant number. I mean, how do you, what do you recommend? I mean, what are some of the tips that you would suggest to people if they wanted to get more downloads of shows and so on?
Well, I think it's like, you know, any show, first of all, for me, you know, your main concern has to be content. You always have to think about who's my audience, what do they want to hear, how can I keep it fresh and relevant.
Right.
That's always the number one priority. And then depending on how much money you have for marketing, you know, just getting a show, whether it's through Blog Talk Radio or you get something up in iTunes, you know, it's like anything else. People have to find out about it.
Now, So is that what you suggest? I mean, could you actually advertise on iTunes? I know that you know, we have many of our hosts actually have registered on iTunes, and you can, you know, pick up their shows off iTunes. But can you advertise on iTunes to drive more downloads of your show?
No, I don't think so. I believe it's still just like the directory format, and iTunes is very, not rigid, but they determine, you know, who gets on the front page of iTunes and all that. So really it's about, you know, a viral campaign. If you don't have the money to hire a PR firm, you know, email all your friends and family first, tell them you have a new show, ask them to email their friends and family, get them to subscribe. And I would definitely recommend, there's some great tools. There's a wonderful site. A guy named Michael Bailey runs a company called MyChingo. MyChingo. If you go to MyChingo.com, it's a division of his company called Mobisoft. And MyChingo is this really cool thing where you embed audio flash recorder on your site, on the blog of your podcast. And I think you could probably do this on the Blog Talk Radio pages.
Mm-hmm.
But someone can record when they come to your page. They click the record button, and if they have a recorder, you know, in their computer, which most people do, they can record an audio message, which you can then mix into your show. And then there's also, so that's one thing, and then there's a great company called K7, the letter K and the number 7, .net, not com, N-E-T, .net. And what they do is they essentially just have a phone number where you call it your listener, you know, your Blog Talk Radio listener line or your podcast listener line, whatever. It's just a phone number, and people feel like they're leaving a voicemail. But the voicemail is then, you can have it either as an MP3 or a WAV file. And those comments that people leave can then be mixed into a show. And I bring that up because that's a great viral tool to help market your show, because people love hearing themselves talk.
Well, I mean, no doubt. You know, with Blog Talk Radio, of course, this is we have the ability to take calls, and up to five people at one time can be online, and you can actually make your comments and engage the host while they're having the show. So I think that is something that seems to be appealing, and very happy we can offer that.
Yeah, well, it's a great feature. I mean,
yeah.
and yeah.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, I mean, what is your sense of the live format? I know you do shows on TalkShoe, which is another company, one of few, you know, that are actually offering a live format. And what has attracted you to a live format? And And I also like to announce that you are doing a show on Blog Talk Radio. I understand. We're not quite sure when, but John Havens will be doing a show here, and he'll be on our featured host page, which we're very proud of.
Oh, thank you. It's either going to be this Friday, meaning 2 days from now at noon, or a week from Friday at noon. So if that's, you know, sorry to not have more clarity there.
But we'll get that out. That's perfect. So what's your sense of the live format, and what attracts you to a live format versus your more traditional format?
Well, I mean, having the acting background, I think the perfect metaphor or analogy for me is that I loved doing theater. I love doing live theater, but I also love doing film and TV. They're all acting. It's all the same sort of general context of delivering a character. But then the live theater is very exciting. There's a very visceral rush of knowing that you are in front of a live audience. If you, it's without a net. If you and I tonight talk and something comes up, and I'm not going to, but if I decided to go off, let off of the stream of profanities,
I'd mute you.
Yeah, exactly. You'd mute me, but it's still the exciting thing of, wow, maybe he's going to have a stream of profanity, which I wouldn't.
Right, but, it's possible. That could occur. That's true.
Yeah, but the point is that it's very real. I think what's also attractive to people is that you and I are talking right now, and it's not scripted. And so there's a very, visceral, real feeling of these guys are talking right now because we are.
It's more engaging. It's the conversation, and that's what I've been really promoting on Blog Talk Radio, is to enable people and empower them to have a conversation. And that's why people have been attracted to this. You know, and I told you earlier today, I had the opportunity to speak to Scott Kesterson, who's an embedded reporter from Afghanistan. He's in north of Kandahar. It was, raining. He was on a satellite phone. There's a lot of very aggressive things going on in the country. The Taliban are coming back pretty strong, and they're being supported by the ISI, which is the security arm of the Pakistan regime, the government, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, he called in, and we're talking, and he's frustrated because the Afghanistan that war seems to be the forgotten war. We forwarded that live link to the Pentagon, who we've been talking to, because they're interested in Blog Talk Radio or the ability to find other means of communicating. The Pentagon specifically, are very, very frustrated because they do a lot of good things around the world, or particularly in that area. They do good things, and they can't communicate those messages. They're bound by traditional media and the 20-second soundbite.
Right.
And you can't get everything out in 20 seconds. You need to have a dialogue, and you need to have a discussion. And we've been speaking to them about that. But just the fact of having a Scott Kesterson on air, a calling in from overseas, is a powerful thing. And I know that that's something, that people do when they're looking for a live format. It gives that a little extra, spontaneity to a conversation as well.
Yeah, and one thing, first of all, I totally agree with you. And I think one thing I try to do, especially with my podcast and new media consultant clients, is I think it's important, or just a good distinction. There's a lot of things that have to do with preference, meaning some people may prefer the live format because of all the great things you pointed out, as I do, but other people, for whatever reason, get really nervous talking live, or they feel that they like the editing, the back end, and especially for clients that I work with, they may feel that for whatever reason they can't, quote, risk a live talk, depending on their company. Like, for instance, like a pharmaceutical company, for instance, I would be shocked if they would be able to do a live format show, because, the legal restrictions around so much of anything that anyone says at a pharmaceutical company are so restricted. So they might say, well, we're interested in doing a show, but if we do like a Blog Talk Radio format, we're going to do it sort of behind the curtain, as it were, behind the firewall, where we want to make sure that we know who's coming on to the show, and we'll record it, and then we can use that and edit that to...
Right, do it in a private environment, a private room type environment.
Exactly. So I think what I encourage my clients and people at about.com to do is try everything. I mean, Blog Talk Radio is great. You know, try it and have fun with it and experience it. And then the same thing I would say, then take the recording from your Blog Talk Radio show, your BTR cast, and try mixing it into a podcast and see if you like, you know, mixing music into it and sound effects and editing out where, like, the dog was barking or something. You may really enjoy that craft, or you may say, this is, and this is a very important thing to remember, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work to edit a show. A podcast specifically. It's even more work to edit a video, you know, video cast. And so another big advantage for the live format is you once you're done recording the show, you're done. And that's actually a real gift in the sense of, and that's okay. That's the medium.
Right. And I fully agree. And I mean, Blog Talk Radio, as you'll see when you do your show, you can upload audio files and MP3s and audio clips into your show while it's live.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, cool. Yeah. So you'll be able to upload intro music. I didn't have my dashboard up at the proper time when we started, but I have an intro piece. You could put in music. If we were talking about the president's speech last night, I can upload an audio clip or two or three or ten on different topics, and then we can discuss them. So we have built in that functionality into Blog Talk Radio where you can upload music and or audio clips into a live show.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And I saw... It's funny you mention that. There were like 10 presidential candidates in Bush's speech last night, which cracked me up. And did you see that Barack Obama was sitting directly in front of Hillary Clinton?
Oh, is that right? Yeah, it's a big field.
But I thought it was fascinating.
It is fascinating. You know, it's really going to be an interesting thing because they're all trying to get mind share and they're going to differentiate themselves. And it's very hard, right? You've got all these candidates and, you know, Hillary, of course, is a leader. But Governor Vilsack, who was the first one out of the box, I don't know if you recall his name, Tom Vilsack, he's from Iowa, he was the first one, and he's going to be on Blog Talk Radio on February 6th for an hour show. So
that's great. Exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah,
we're going to have him on, and James Boyce, who's a political consultant, and he's on MSNBC, he's going to interview Vilsack. And talk to them. And, you know, we've got some conservative bloggers on Blog Talk Radio, and we have progressive bloggers, and we're putting the two of them on debate. I'm going to moderate a debate between a conservative blogger and a progressive blogger and kind of hash things out.
Wow, great.
It can't get too bloody because they're in different cities.
Hey,
so
I appreciate passion. So
I'm talking with John Havens and on Blog Talk Radio. And the phone number is, in case you'd like to call, is 347-677-0649. Do you find that, now you're doing some live shows as well, of course, and do you find that the podcast itself is generating a lot more traffic than the live shows?
Well, I think it's a question of the podcast is still probably generating more downloads and subscriptions in that than the live show, because you know the live show is largely dependent, and this is not necessarily a disadvantage, it's just a fact, is that people have to tune in at a specific time.
Right.
Whereas whether it's a radio, you know, podcasting is kind of like TiVo for audio. So the point is that, you know, it's 24/7, it's you know, the whole just in time idea. So when you create media that can be listened to whenever, then it's just, by and large, it's going to be easier to get more numbers in some regards. You know, and obviously, like with the Blog Talk Radio format, people can still listen to the audio once it's done, so it's the same type of thing.
Right.
But then it just means that, you know, it's just a question of, you know, it's just the way the world is. You have more time to maybe listen to it because you're dealing with your kids or whatever. So that's all it is, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we see that, certainly. I mean, the number of live listeners we have are much lower than the downloads that we've get. But I, the way I look at it, too, is that the live format is not just an opportunity. I don't measure live the value where I have the number of live listeners. I measure the conversation. I measure the value that you have in having a live conversation, you know,
right.
That we can talk about the UK right now, if we like, or we can talk about, you know, your next visit to California or your young child or whatever. And we're right. having a conversation, and I think that's live, and then that's then recorded, and so on. What do you spend most of your time? You spend most of your time on the podcast consultancy. Are you on Broadway now or off Broadway? I mean, are you pursuing your acting, your theater career very actively?
No, not as much. Mainly because acting from a professional standpoint is it's very time consuming, and you don't necessarily the return on investment. It's tough to plan your life because, you know, I'm blessed in as much as now, like the other day I auditioned for Shrek on Broadway. They're doing a musical version of Shrek, and I auditioned for Shrek. And to get in that room, you know, with that casting director and that director, you know, thousands and thousands of actors would love just to be in that room. It's not even a cattle call. That's not how it is. It's that you don't get in that room until you've had years of trying to get seen by these people. So in one sense, it's sort of not depressing, but it's like I've worked really hard to get in that room. But in the other sense, it's, you know, I've auditioned for years and years and had a lot of good breaks, but then also many times have heard, hey, great audition. Like I was up for Hairspray about three different times. Mm-hmm. And there's only so many times where you can kind of really, because it's very weird to be an actor in the sense if you walk into a room, it's not like, you know, having a job where you have an interview and, you know, you go through five or six interviews and you kind of get ready to change your life and maybe move or whatever. When you're an actor, it's like you walk in a room, maybe you have one or two callbacks, and then all of a sudden you're working eight shows a week, doing a Broadway show maybe for 2 years. So it's just a weird, it's kind of a strange way to live your life. And I loved it when I was single. I loved it when I was married without kids. But now that I have two young kids, having the consulting firm, doing the About.com thing, working on PodCamp NYC, are great, three great ways that I can make money, do stuff that I'm passionate about, and still you know, have a lot of the same skill sets and types of things involved in acting, collaborating with people, interviewing people, you know, or being interviewed by folks like you. It's great. So that same energy is still there, but the weirdness, not weirdness in a bad way, but just it's you have very little control over your life as an actor.
Right. Well, when you were describing working the countless hours and not generating any income, it sounded like blogging to me a little.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I have a feeling,
well,
you know,
stated.
I'll tell you, the one thing is, I mean, we can have an hour conversation and we'll cover a lot of topics, probably enough to cover a week's worth of blogs in terms of content and the issues that we cover, you know?
Right,
and
right.
I look at the blogosphere and I see people doing this, and I at some point there's going to be, you know, people are going to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is so much time. I know what I'm doing is important, but at the end of the day, can there be any value here? Can I monetize this in any way? And I don't know, that it hasn't occurred yet. I mean, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I may be wrong. I don't know what your thought is about that.
You mean in terms of how bloggers or podcasters will get paid?
Yeah, ultimately, right. That, you know, when you do anything in life, you could do it for a passion, and all of a sudden it's not just a passion, it's a job, because it's based on the amount of time, and then you say, well, am I getting compensated for it? And if you're not,
it's a very,
you know, is that a problem?
Yeah, I mean, well, and one, you know, I've taught a lot of acting classes. I wrote a book on acting, and most acting teachers will tell you right off, if you want to get into acting to get rich and famous, it's not a very smart career move, because it's so competitive. It's just, you know, if you want to just make money, I don't know, you know, be a broker or something, because and you know, no offense to any brokers where it's really hard to get work in that regard, but the point is, it's the same thing with blogging and podcasting. You really have to have the passion and the tenacity to stick with the mediums that you want to participate in if you want to make money, because I think most of us now who are just starting to make the kind of money where you can have a living have been doing it for at least, you know, the better part of a year. And although that's kind of laughable in one sense, like a year, you know, the industry is essentially 3.5 years old, and by industry I mean, you know, like where you know, the RSS feed was first discovered could be used for this. you know, with Adam Curry and whatever. So to be in a year even, you know, I'm sort of venerable in that regard in some ways. So now, really the way that I'm making money is not through my podcast, but is through being a consultant.
Right.
And if that's something that people have that skill set, I have a lot of podcast consultant interviews on my site, theabout.com site, which I know is ironic in one sense that I'm sort of featuring competitors, but there's so much work to be done that it's much like, you know, there's thousands and thousands of ad agencies. So I think podcast and new media consultants have a real advantage right now.
Right, and so then it's an interesting dynamic. Okay, so on the one hand, the podcast, the content aggregate, the content generators, the people that are creating the shows are having, they're in somewhat of a quandary. They're trying to figure out how to monetize this. And then on the other hand, you've got the, you know, large corporations and a universe of people that are just about getting into it that truly believe that an audio, you know, a show or a broadcast, like what you do on Blog Talk Radio or what you're doing on your podcasting or other podcasts, are beneficial to communicating a message. I mean, without question, everyone I speak to, and I speak to a lot of people either in the United States or I was in London with a meeting with the British Council last week, are truly fascinated by the ability to bring people together, right? And therefore, when you've got all these people that are very excited about the medium, you've got this opportunity for people like you and others to be consultants to help them sort it out, right, and help them understand it. Now, it's a bit confusing in the sense that here you've got this entire universe of people that are engaged in it and are willing to hire consultants and buy the digital recording equipment and do you know, create these world-class podcasts, or even using our phone or using Blog Talk Radio, which is still commitment of time and energy and effort, and we're trying to figure out how to make it worthwhile. You see the dynamic. It's quite interesting.
Sure, and I think it's just like any new medium or new way of communicating.
Right, it's a nascent industry, and it's going to catch up because intuitively, it's a right. I think I would agree with you.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. You know, there's a lot of impatience around. Oh, it has to be monetized now, and it has to be. How are we going to make money? And there's a lot of hype as well, and that's all fine. That's kind of normal. Because what I always tell, again, what I tell clients and also what I tell people in About.com is, look, at the end of the day, there may be some cool, and again, this is not to mitigate how cool some of this technology is. It's very transformative. But long story short, for some people, they might consider it like bells and whistles. Like, cool, I can listen to a podcast on my phone by using not Blog Talk Radio, but there's a company called, for instance, Podlines. It's PodLinez.com, where you can attach your RSS feed to a phone number. So you call a phone number and listen to a show. It's great. But they, at the end of the day, they might try it once because it's a fun way to get the content. They're going to listen to it a second and third time because the content is either of high enough quality and, you know, the production value has to be at least listenable. But the material, the content, is always what gets people to come back. And I think one thing that I realize about consultation for myself is that because there's already, you know, at least 10 or 15 people I can think of who are other great podcast consultants whose work I respect, in some degrees that aspect of what I do is going to be commoditized pretty soon. And also the more and more that people learn how to use the tools to create a podcast, some of my skill sets people may not need. So what I'm really working this year especially on is to create the content and the shows with my clients where people will say, well, I really like the John Heavens stamp, as it were, on the content that's created, because that's the value that, you know, I can never be commoditized the same way that Alan can never be commoditized, or Blog Talk Radio or your show could never be commoditized. You are the only Alan Levy who does his show. And people who tune into that will always want that. So that's something I always encourage people in About.com to find your voice. Find not just from a marketing standpoint, but speak truthfully about what it is you're passionate about. If you want to do an interview show like we're doing tonight, great. Maybe you want to do a show where you're talking about a subject, great. But work to, now that you have the passion, work to understand how your audience likes hearing it. Maybe they want a 10-minute show versus an hour-long show. Maybe they want a certain type of content that you've given once and they want to hear it again. And it's always a balance. You know, you're doing a show for other people. So it's not that you're going to cater to them per se, but you want to be aware of what they like. And if that's the audience you want to keep, kind of, you know, continue shows along that vein.
You are a very noted podcast aficionado, I have to say. I'm very impressed.
Oh, thank you. All right.
I think you're very wise, and I want to thank you also for a lot of the great websites you pointed us to tonight, openmetrics.org, radiotale.com, Porter Novelli. We're going to check that out. Because I think, you know, look, there's a lot of people that are listening to my show gets played on our MySpace page, and we have a MySpace page, myspace.com/blogtalkradio. We have about 1,100 friends there, and when people come, we play the audio file. As many of our hosts are on Blog Talk, on MySpace as well, and it's been a great venue for us to broadcast bulletins and kind of create a community of Blog Talk Radio hosts. So
great.
We have so many of our hosts. I mean, our hosts are podcasters, right? I mean, they're creating content. So it's very helpful, and I think what we should really do in our blog is to kind of work with you and get some more of this information outlined, and maybe we'll do that in the coming days with AME, and we'll give people some kind of take out some of the best, you know, and give people an idea and what they can, you know, expect and see, and I think it's great. I think the work you're doing is terrific.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it, Alan. And it's been a real pleasure being on the show. And just a final plug, if it's okay, about PodCamp NYC.
Yes.
Just to really encourage anybody, and one thing I want to point out is it's not just for podcasters. The name might make you think that, but it's for videocasters, bloggers, people on Blog Talk Radio, meaning if you feel that you prefer the live format versus recorded or podcast, that's fine. Really, anybody who's wondering, how can I use new media either for my life, business, or whatever, it's happening in New York.
When is it?
April 6th and 7th. It's
okay.
At the New School in New York. For the specific address, again, just go to podcampnyc.org.
Okay.
And you can register, like I said, or you can email me or on the site. If you click on contact, that email will come to me anyway. I'll sign you up on the site.
And what's the format going to be? What can people expect if they come to the show?
Well, what's so exciting is, like I said, there's no keynotes, but if you go to, we have a sessions page, you know, even whatever it is, 2.5-3 months before the event, there's already about, I think, 15 sessions. And this is even before the New School folks have added a lot of they're doing a whole track, which I'm really excited about, on the theory of various types of media. Like, the New School is famous in New York anyway, but they're famous for helping to both disseminate ideas about media and also explore the sort of the theoretical aspect behind how people communicate. So it's really exciting, heady in a good way type of stuff. And so what we're so excited about is there's a lot of talks already on monetizing. Actually, the guy I mentioned, David Kowalik, is doing a panel on the Open Metrics program. So that'll be nice to go to, or good to go to, rather. But what I love about PodCamp is that there's everyone from the total newbies, and that's, again, not pejorative. That just means it's sort of an affectionate term for people who are just starting out with podcasting or videocasting, up to, you know, VPs or even CEOs of major tech firms or ad agencies or whatever. And they're all, you know, hanging out together. And why I think it's so exciting is the synergies that are created when people like this network versus, and this is not to disparage other conferences, but typically when I go to a conference, it's largely, you know, CEOs and VPs of big corporate organizations, and that's exciting, and there's a lot of great learning. But what you don't necessarily get is that blend of the new voices or the different voices that just aren't represented there. So the paradigm that's created at the PodCamps that I've been to or taken a part of, in which certainly we're trying to foster that same feel of PodCamp NYC, is walking into a room with such a varied level of experience in new media, such a varied level of interest in how to use new media. But then when you network, you may think, going into the building, I really want to contact this person from this company so I can get a job with them. You know, that's your focus. And then you start chatting with someone who, for whatever reason, maybe it's like the person you mentioned, you know, who you interviewed, who does a show that involves, you know, material about Afghanistan. And that actually ends up tugging at your heartstrings, and you feel called to work with that person. And had you gone to a, quote, typical conference, you may not have met that person. But because you're at a place that's sort of welcoming a larger paradigm and scope of people.
Now, may I ask, if you don't mind, I see here you've got a live interactive podcasting, Mark Giuliano. Learn how and why podcasts using live interactive. Is he with TalkShoe?
Yeah, Mark's with TalkShoe.
Maybe we could do a panel of some sort. Have you thought about where maybe Blog Talk Radio could fit in here at your conference?
Well, one thing I already put up on the wiki that if people, you know, to give people a virtual audience, people who are leading sessions have already recommended they use either Blog Talk Radio or TalkShoe or Pal Talk. I'm meeting with the New School people on Tuesday to see how the phone reception is inside their building. But then that way, if someone's giving a live presentation, you know, to 50 people in a classroom, but they want to invite a virtual audience, what I'm saying is we'll give you the schedule of when you'll be speaking
right. A
couple weeks in advance. And then even if it's not the normal time for your Blog Talk show, your Blog Talk Radio show, you could say, hey, next week I'm speaking live from PodCamp NYC.
Right. What about actually educating people on Blog Talk Radio or live broadcasting that we're doing here? Is that a part of the format in some manner?
Well, the talks you guys will certainly be talking about the sort of the paradigm again of live interactive podcasting. And the only thing, the sort of main tenets of PodCamp are, first of all, that it's free, that anyone can participate, and then also anyone can sign up for a session. And not that you were by any means, you know, going this direction, but that talks cannot be a pitch, as it were.
Sure, no, of course.
Which, you know, I have to be careful because sometimes when I talk about consulting, of course, I want you know, potentially to get clients. So I have to be very careful and. But the idea there is that, as you know, and this is more to your audience than to you, if you lead a session on something that is value-added, people will want to seek you out anyway. Much like tonight, hopefully people in your audience will think, oh, I got some value from what John said, and
sure.
If for whatever reason you need a consultant, then you'll call me, versus if I just sat here and said, I've worked with this company and that company. And so anyway, but long story short, it'd be great. I'd love to see you do a panel, you know, if you want to reach out to Mark or I can.
Yeah, well, I'd like you to, and I'd love to, maybe we do a panel and we just, because look, there's not many of us that are doing this, and I, you know, respect what they're doing, and maybe we can, you know, we'd be a few of many doing this type of a thing, and, you know, so that would be great, and I would like that, and, you know, seems like looking at the agenda, that would make most sense, so.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about PodCamp NYC is that really put it on there, and that's what you're talking about. We don't – it's not like, you know, you put up a session and then we take it, like, to a team and see if we can approve it or something. That's your talk. And, you know, whatever audience comes, you know, it'll largely be they look at their, you know, their map and their schedule the day of, and they say, oh, wow, Alan Levy's here. I'd love to hear him talk. And they go and hear you talk.
Right. Okay. Well, excellent. Well, I look forward to that. Well, thank you once again for joining me tonight, and look forward to hearing your show on Blog Talk Radio in the coming days. And it was a pleasure speaking with you, and I met you a while ago, and I a lot of respect for you, and I appreciate your contribution to this industry and for our audience tonight and giving us such great information. So thank you for joining us.
Well, my pleasure, Alan. Thanks very much.
Okay. Have a good evening.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to John Havens on Alan Levy's show on Blog Talk Radio. He's one of the most noted individuals in the space, and I want to thank him once again for joining me. We have you know, a few interesting shows coming up. As I mentioned, Governor Vilsack, Tom Vilsack, will be doing a show on Blog Talk Radio. We have many, many things going on. Tonight, in fact, we've got close to 50 shows running live today on Blog Talk Radio, which is, you know, quite interesting. I know that there's around 5-6 shows going on now, and there's about 7 shows going on at 10 o'clock, so we have a full slate of shows. And once again, I want to thank all of you for joining me and listening to my show on Blog Talk Radio, and have a good night.